Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Open your Bible with me today to Matthew 21, New Testament. We're finishing a series this weekend on how to pray and get results. I think all of us want to improve our prayer life. I know I do. I want to get greater results. Pastor Kim talked about the verse today that we would have fruit and that our fruit would remain. I want my prayer life and your prayer life to be fruitful, not flat, but fruitful, not flat. I want our prayer life to be flourishing and exciting. I want when you pray, mountains move. The Red Sea miracle opens up for you. I want to see signs and wonders. The Bible promised us we're not to follow signs, but signs would follow us. Amen. That we would walk in the supernatural, that you and I would be in the world, but not of the world. That there would be something distinct, something different, something uncommon, something unusual about our walk and our talk and our life. I want that today for you, and I want it for me. So we've been looking all month on how to get greater results with our prayer life. And each week we've talked about a different particular topic. But really, if you'll go back and investigate, or if you weren't with us, you can get all the teaching free by going to our website. Every weekend, we've been dealing with our heart. We've been dealing with our heart. Because we know, bottom line, big idea, the condition of our heart determines the direction of our life. The condition of our heart, not our physical organ, but our inner spirit, our human spirit. The condition of our heart determines the direction of our life. And you might be watching today and you have a broken heart. God can heal your heart. You might be watching today or you're visiting again. We welcome you. We're so glad you're here. But maybe somebody drug you here. I can relate to that. And maybe you have negative emotions and attitudes about church and Christians and God. We've all been there. And maybe your heart is hardened. God can soften your heart here today. And maybe you've been offended by a previous marriage or church or Christian or partner or someone has grieved you and broken your heart and you've been offended. God can heal. God can restore. God can mend. God can soften. God can renew our hearts. So today I want to continue that thought, and I just want to share with you up front what we're going to talk about, and then we'll talk about it, and then I'm going to give you four takeaways, and then we're going to go change the world. How about, is that okay? So today I want to talk about a surrendered heart. A surrendered heart. Oh my goodness. I'll never have God's best. Big thought, I'll never have God's best, I'll never have God's success without a surrendered heart. I'll never really enjoy the life that God has for me until I surrender my heart. Now, what does a surrendered heart look like? It looks like this. God, I give you everything in my life today. Thing. And then we move on. God, I give you everyone in my life today. I surrender everything and I surrender everyone. That would mean your children, your parents, your husband, your wife, your fiance, your one you're dating today, those that are troubling you at work, an employee, a peer, a supervisor. God, I surrender. God, I surrender my heart to you today. And that means, God, I give you everything, and then I move on. Everyone, and then I move on. Every part of my life today. I'll really never know the abundant life, the best life. I'll never really enjoy God's success until I surrender my heart. I found that out personally, that you can know God as your Savior, but Him not be your Lord. Yeah, I found that out personally because I got born again when I was 11 years old and Jesus became my Savior. But I've got to be honest, I got to be real, I got to be authentic. He never really became my Lord until I was 21. I got born again at 11. I gave my life to Jesus, but I didn't give Him all of me and every part of me and everyone and everything in my life. And it wasn't until I was 21 years old. Kim and I had been married a couple years. We couldn't stand each other, but we loved each other. And I realized that this world was not enough. James Bond, this world is not enough. And I realized that even though I was a Christian and Jesus was my Savior, I still wasn't experiencing the peace and joy and success and blessing that I heard about in the Bible that could be mine. So in 1975, in October, I ran to the altar, and that morning, I finally surrendered. I surrendered my plans for His plan. I surrendered. It's called being submissive. It's called surrendering. It's called yielding. There's no growing in the Christian life unless there's yielding going on. No growing without yielding. No growing without yielding. Submitting, being a subject, letting God, I'll say it another way, giving God control. As somebody said, God is my co-pilot. No, God is my pilot. Amen. So it was on that morning that I finally surrendered. I said, God, because, you know, I was into cars. And I said, God, you can have all my cars. That was hard for me. I'm into motorcycles, and I said, God, because those were my identity. I said, God, you can have my motorcycle, and that means if God tells me give it away, I'll give it away. Sell it, I'll sell it. Y'all remember the story of how when after I surrendered my life, and I said, God, you can have my career. God, you can have everything. You can have everything a little bit deeper, everyone a little bit deeper, every part of my life today. And then you all know the story. I know it was stupidity, but I was surrendering. That I had a brand new Corvette. I had a brand new red Corvette, leather saddle tan interior. And I was told you couldn't have a new Corvette and go to college. That's what my pastor told me. You can't have a new car, a new Corvette, and go to Bible college. It just is an oxymoron. Somebody was a moron. I don't know who was, but me, praise God. And so what I did was I went downtown Des Moines, Iowa. I can still remember it, to a Gremlin dealer. Does anybody, they're classics now. They're worth a lot of money, but they were junk back then. Amen. And I traded that Corvette in on a, talk about humility. I don't know if it was humility or stupidity, but I'll never forget that day that downtown Des Moines, Iowa, I drove off that parking lot. I drove in with a brand new red Corvette. I drove out with a yellow demon-possessed Gremlin. Wow. I saw that as surrender. Because even in my stupidity, there was some honesty. I said, God, you can have everything. Go a little deeper. You can have everyone. If God tells me to let that person get out of my life, then I got to let that person go out of my life. If God tells me not to marry that person, then I'm not going to marry that person. If God tells me to examine my relationships, then I need to examine. If God tells me I need to turn my kids over to Him, I need to turn my marriage over to Him, then that means surrender, a surrendered heart. I have to have a surrendered heart to have God's best and success that He's promised for you and me. Wow. So let's look at it, the problem of the heart. Somebody said that the heart of the problem is always a problem of the heart. 40 years of counseling. And I found out that the heart of the problem is not her, is not him, is not them. The heart of the problem is always a problem in that person's heart. So let's look at it. Matthew 21, verse 22. And whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith. So prayer doesn't move God. It's our faith. We got that down, right, Church on the Rock? Prayer doesn't move God, but it's our faith in our prayers that move God. So that means, bottom line, I better be in faith every time I pray. So I better do due diligence. I better go to the spiritual gym, and I better be in the Word every day, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If prayers don't move God, it's my faith in my prayer that moves God, then I've got to do due diligence every day and get in the Word every day, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So he said, whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith, what's that mean? Really, really, really believing. It's really believing. Then I meet the premise, I get the promise. I meet the premise, I get the promise. What does that mean, Pastor? I'm new to this. I meet God's conditions, I get my answer. And God's condition is, when I pray, I can't be a begging and a wishing and a bargaining and a badgering. I got to be believing. I got to get into believing. Pastor, that's hard for me. I know there's a challenge there, but you and I have to do due diligence. We have to work at it. We have to labor at it. We have to have a Bible reading plan, memorize scriptures. If we really want that breakthrough, if we really want that cancer to go, that debt cancellation, that marriage back, our kids serve God, we got to do due diligence. We got to get in faith and stay in faith, right? The Bible says, guard your heart. Guard your heart, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. Oh, my goodness. So that's so important then. And then let's go on over to Mark 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, wow, we're supposed to speak to things. Yeah. And mountains don't necessarily mean literal mountains there. They mean problems. Pastor, I don't have any problems. Well, then borrow some of mine. I'll be out baby dedication. Out in the lobby, come by. I'll give you a whole load of problems. I'll give you a boatload of problems if you don't have any problems. Remember, the heart of the problem is a heart problem. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart. Ooh, there it is. Shall not doubt in their wow. So if I want and we want greater results with our prayer life, then I got to every day work on my heart, because my heart can get hurt. My heart can get offended. People can say things that will hurt us, offend us, belittle us, rain on our dreams. People can say things that can mar us, can mark us, can scar us for life. So I've got to make sure that I'm examining my heart every day and surrendering my heart every day, because I don't believe with my head. I believe in my heart. Prayers aren't answered according to my head. Prayers are answered according to what's in my heart. Are you with me? So notice it says that, where do you believe? We don't believe in our head, my brother and sister. We renew our mind to align it with God's word, but we believe in our heart. Your head is the door to your heart. I'll say it again. Your head is the door to your heart. I'll say it one more time. Your soul, which is your head, is the door to your heart. You don't believe with your head. You believe with your heart. You can doubt in your head, but yet have faith in your heart. That's true. Many of us have experienced that, haven't we? The lady with the issue of blood, another story in the Bible. And she, the Bible says that she kept saying to herself, confession. She saw herself healed, visualization. And she said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. But the Bible says she touched his garment trembling in fear. How could she be in fear and faith at the same time? Head and heart. She knew in her heart she was fully persuaded. She was really believing. But her head was going crazy right then at that time. Why? Because the culture and the custom banned her and barred her from being in public. So she went against the culture to touch Christ, and she got her miracle. So notice that we believe in our heart. So if we believe in our heart, then bless God, you and I have got to guard our heart. The next verse, can we go to that? Praise God. Okay, it's all good. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give you this. Thanks, guys. Let me give you this, an acrostic in prayer. You guys got it right. Amen. Prayer, the acrostic of pray. Let's just do that. Everybody, you all know what acrostic is, right? So if you take notes, just write, you know, P-R-A-Y. And let me give you, this is the key to get results when we pray. So P stands for praise. Thanks, guys. P stands for praise. And you know, we want to spend the first few seconds of our time approaching God with praise. right? Because we come into his presence with praise and thanksgiving, right? So we want to get in his presence. We want the door to be wide open. And so we start with praise. The letter R is for the word repent. Repent. Pastor, do Christians repent? Is the Pope Catholic? We got to repent every day, my brother and sister. Come on, somebody. 1 John 1:9 is for Christians. Because we flub up and we miss it, and we don't make it, and we're authentic and we're real and we're honest, and we all got a long way to go. We're not where we used to be, but we're not where we want to be. We're in process, so let's give each other some space. I'll throw that in there, amen. Disclaimer, hallelujah. So P stands for praise, and R stands for repent. So we want to go before the Lord and make sure our heart is right with God, that we're not holding an offense, not holding a grudge, that we're not prejudiced, we're not bigots, we're not hypocrites, we're not gossipers, we're not liars, we're not cheaters, we're not playing God. We repent. And then the letter A is now we're ready to ask. Ask. But remember, my brother and sister, we have to ask in faith. We're not begging God, we're not pleading, we're not wishing and hoping, we're not bargaining, we're not badgering, we're asking in believing faith, believing prayer. You still with me, family? Because asking doesn't move God. It's the faith in my asking that moves God. We're talking about successful how we pray. So P, I forgot, it stands for praise. And R stands for repent. And A stands for ask. And Y stands for yield. Whoa. If I forget that last part of the component, if I forget that last part, and guess what? I'm not going to get results. If I don't have a yielding heart, a submissive heart, a surrendered heart, where I've laid everything down before God, now watch the progression. God, you can have everything. My car, my boat, my cat, my dog. You can have everything. My job. You can have everything. And then we'll go a little deeper. You can have everyone. God, I give you my wife, my husband, my fiance, my boyfriend, my girlfriend. I give you those people at work that are troubling me. I give you my kids that are giving me a rough. God, I surrender everyone. We'll go a little deeper. Then, God, every compartment of my heart is no longer I'm going to hold anything back. I'm not going to be a wishy-washy Christian, one foot in the world, one foot in the church, up and down, roller coaster Christian, chameleon Christian. No, God, I'm going whole hog all the way. God, you can have, I surrender everything. Every part of my heart. And when we do that, my brother and sister, wow, we boost ourselves into abundant life. Abundant life. Abundant life. So we can't forget the last component, and that's Y, and it stands for yielding. So without yielding, there's no growing. And I want everybody I pastor to be growing. Because God's goal for our life is not heaven. Really, Pastor? No. God's goal for our life is not heaven. Heaven is our destination. Heaven is our destination. But God's goal for our life is that we grow. God's goal for our life is that when you and I leave today, your kids say, boy, Mom and Dad are different. I'm coming over here. Praise God. Pastor, you've gone to meddling. Right on. I am going to meddle for a little bit. Hallelujah. Is that when you go to work tomorrow morning, they say, man, there's something different about you. You're controlling your emotions. You're not going crazy. You're not angry. What used to bother you doesn't bother. What's going on in your life? Oh, I'm glad you ask. See, God's goal for our life is not heaven. That's our destination. God's goal is that we're growing, and that we're growing so much that our children are noticing it. Our mates are noticing it. Our co-workers are noticing it. Those we go to school with, they're noticing it, that there's a change going on. There's some things rattling and a rolling going on in our life. It's called transformation. Amen, Church on the Rock. So now let me give you a little story in the Bible about submission and surrendering and yielding and giving God control. And we've all, many of us in the church have heard this, the prayer of submission where we pray, not my will, but thy will be done. I remember years ago, it was actually 1980. Somebody says, I wasn't even born then, Pastor. But it was 1980. I was on Interstate 70. We were coming through St. Peter's and those way stations out there. My father was with me. He was still alive. And I was pastoring a church in another city at that time, Kim and I. And my dad just off the cuff said, Dave, would you ever go to St. Louis? Would you ever think about going to St. Louis and pastoring? I'll never forget. I looked at him. I said, Dad, no way. No way would I go to St. Louis. Never in my life. California, San Diego. Yes, Lord. Honolulu, jalapeno, Maui. Oh, come on, Jesus. Satellite church, here I come. Praise the Lord. But you know, I'll never forget that. I said, God, no way. And you know what? I found out there came a point in my life in ministry. I had to say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, on that side, it's hard. It's difficult. It could be painful. But I promise you, once we make the decision, because God will never force his will on us. But once we make that choice, I found out that it's more painful to be out of the will of God than it is to be in the will of God. Oh yeah, there's struggle, there's opposition, there's persecution, there's pain in following Christ. But I found out there's more struggle, there's more pain being outside the will of God for my life. So at that particular time, when God spoke to Kim and I in 1983 of November to come here and plant a church, I said, oh, God, is that really you? Or is that White Castle, Belly Bombers? Hallelujah. God, is that really you? And it was tough. It was difficult. We left everything, all of our money, insurance, friends, family. But on the other side of saying, yes, God, I'll surrender. I wouldn't take nothing for the journey now. You ever heard that song? I wouldn't take nothing for being here with you today. And looking at 36 years of ministry in St. Louis that's went around the world, oh, on the other side of surrender, oh, seeing what God's doing in your life today, hearing what God's doing on your life online in the chat room right now, I wouldn't take nothing for the journey now. Can we give God our best praise? Thank you, Lord. Wow, I'm almost out of time. Praise the Lord. But let's look at it real quick. Luke 22:39. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know, Jesus went through the same thing. Jesus didn't want to do the will of the Father either. Pastor, are you kidding? That's what he says. He said, if there's any way I can get out of going to St. Louis, God, show me the way. Jesus did not want to do the will of the Father. Why, Pastor? Didn't he love us? Oh, no. He did it for us. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He loved us. He laid his life down for us, but he didn't want to do it. Why, Pastor? Because at 3:00 in the afternoon on the day he was crucified, everything went pitch black. What happened, Pastor? That was the moment in time where God the Father turned his back on God the Son. And they had no fellowship at that point of time. Jesus didn't want that in his life. And so even Jesus didn't want to do the will of the Father. And he said, if there's any way I can get out of this, God, show me the way. And God said, no way. And so Jesus submitted, and he was in submission, and he gave God control, and he yielded. Aren't you glad he did? Selah. There are people on the other side of your surrender. There are people hanging in the balance on the other side of your surrender and my surrender. What would have happened if I wouldn't have surrendered in 1975? And I said, no, God, I'm not giving up material things. I'm not giving up my career. I'm not giving up my life. There's no way I'm not doing it. If I had not surrendered, to God be the glory, I take no credit. We had praying parents. Kim and I had praying parents and praying family. But you would not be here today if I had not surrendered my life to God in 1975. Who's hanging in the balance of your surrender? Come on, somebody. You are important. You have a destiny. You have a plan that God has for your life. And connected to your plan are the breakthrough and the deliverance and the salvation and eternity in the lives of other people. Because nobody can do it like you can do it, my brother and sister. I got to read. And he came out, and as he went, as his habit. Everybody say habit? Woo, it's good to have godly habits. Wow. As his habit, he went to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. Verse 40. And when he came to the place, he said to them, to his disciples, pray that you may not at all enter into temptation. Pastor, they're going to pray. What are they tempted about? They're tempted to quit. They're tempted to quit. They know that the Roman army, guards, Jesus said there was a betrayer coming after him. They know in the natural, it looks like it's all coming to an end. And they're about ready to quit and give up and leave him. Next verse, verse 41. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed. Verse 42. Saying, Father, if you are willing, I don't want to do this. Remove this cup from me. But yet not my will. Oh my goodness, what's that? Giving God control. A surrendered heart. A submissive heart. A yielded heart. Getting out of way so God can have his way, so we can really experience on the other side God's best. So he said, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But God, if there's any other way, show me the way. But if not, complete obedience. God, I'll lay it down. God, I'll surrender it. Yet not my will, but always. Look at the word in parentheses. Always. Always your will be done. Always. Boy, that would be a good mindset, wouldn't it? God, today, I want your will and not my will. God, tomorrow, this is a prayer you can pray over and over again. Some prayers you can't pray over again. Some prayers you can't pray twice and be in faith. But you can pray this prayer every day. Always be done. Verse 43, and there appeared unto him, look at the struggle, look at the opposition, look at the temptation, so much so that when he prayed, he had angelic assistance, ministering angels. As the team comes out, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him in the spirit. What comes after surrender? Strength. Without surrender as a Christian, I'm inadequate. As a Christian, without surrender as a Christian, I don't have enough strength tomorrow for the challenges, the giants, the oppositions, and the problems, and the test, and the trial in my life. Without a surrendered heart, I'll live on a roller coaster of Christianity on my way to heaven, but not have God's best or God's success. But my brother and sister, when you and I totally surrender to God, we go from being inadequate to being invincible. You understand what I'm talking about? He gives you strength for the struggle. He gives you the anointing. He gives you the power. He gives you the supernatural dunamis strength of an almighty God. That's what's on the other side of surrender. It's strength to succeed. It's strength to fulfill. It's strength to run your race. It's strength to finish strong. It's strength to be the person God created you to be. Can we have one more praise break before we go? Verse 44. And being in agony of mind, he prayed. In Matthew, it says Jesus was depressed. Wow. And being agony and of mind, he prayed all the more earnestly, intently, due diligence. And his sweat became like great clots of blood dropping down upon the ground. Next verse, 45, please. And when he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples. He found them sleeping from grief. They're sleeping from grief. The disciples are grieving. The disciples are about to quit. They're tempted to give up. They know that Judas or someone is coming with a Roman guard. They think everything's over. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, as long as you have breath, it ain't over. Because God is for you, and God is for me, and God is the God of a millionth chance. So you might be tempted to quit, but don't quit. Don't quit. Say it with me. I am not a quitter. I am surrendered to God, full of the strength of God. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I lied. One more time. Can you give God praise? Come on, give God praise. Wow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Get up, pray that you may not enter at all into the temptation to quit. One more verse, James chapter 4, James 4, verse 7. Put it all together now. Connect the dots. James 4, submit. Everyone say submit. That's submission. That's yielding. Now, until I surrender everything in my life, material thing, God, it's yours. You can have it. Until I surrender everyone in my life, God, I'll break up. God, I'll stay together. God, I'll go with them. I'll disconnect. God, I'll make adjustments. I'll get along. God, I give you everyone in my life. Then deeper, I give you every part of my life. I don't want you just Savior. I want you Lord over my life. When we do that, then what happens? Strength comes. The anointing comes on the other side of the surrender. So now you're invincible, and now you can speak to the devil. Now you can, the name of Jesus will work for us. Because until I'm under authority, I'll never walk in authority. Until I have a surrendered heart, a submissive heart, a yielded heart, I'll never have the power to live an overcoming life. So he says, now, as you've submitted yourself to God, you've yielded, you've surrendered, he said, now resist the devil. Face him head on. Get up and speak to the mountain, and he will flee from you. The Greek New Testament says he'll run from you in terror. He will run from you in terror. You are invincible once you surrender. Once you submit, once you yield, once you give God complete control of your life. I'm out of time. Did y'all get something today? Come on, let's give the Lord a praise.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.